your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm with Chips Morton today, and she is a wonderful woman that I met a few years ago. She lives in Suffolk, England, which is north of London and east. And I have the pleasure to be here today because I've been doing some work here, and Chips has consented to this interview, and as usual, she has said that she has nothing to say, but we'll see. So, Chips, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
You'll find out all the different special reasons why I asked Chips for this interview. So, first of all, Chips, I'd love to hear your Reiki story because it's a really wonderful story. As most are.
Well, I would say Reiki found me. I didn't find Reiki.
Uh-huh.
A friend of mine took me over to Cheshire to meet Dora, who was a friend of Kristin's, and I'd never heard of Reiki before that. I had a brief treatment and had a wonderful experience, but didn't do anything that year.
Uh-huh.
And the next year we went to visit Dora again, and I went to one of Kristin Bonney's introductory talks.
Mm-hmm.
From that moment I was sold.
Uh-huh. But you said before that you went to another... Oh, you just went to meet her at her home.
Oh, I went to meet her at her home, that's right, yes.
Yes, and you weren't very impressed.
Well, no, it was all a bit cold and bare, but I didn't know at that time she'd just moved into the house.
Right.
No, I wasn't terribly impressed that time.
No.
But the second time, I really...
Uh-huh. And what captivated you?
The warmth and the sense of community. There was a group of people there who were all, some had Reiki, some were friends, and
uh-huh.
just a group of women, I think they were all women, who wanted to know about Reiki.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So when did you take your first degree?
Well, what happened after that was Kristin was coming to Norwich.
Uh-huh.
And Dora phoned me and told me, so I signed up. And it was supposed to be in December, beginning of December. And then Kristin got flu and it was cancelled. And it was postponed till January. And by that time I'd got cold feet. I
uh-huh.
really thought, can't do it. But I had a phone call from someone who is now a great friend called Ruth, who said, I believe you're going to do your Reiki 1. Can I pick you up and we'll go together? So that decided me. So
uh-huh.
Reiki was determined to get me, wasn't it?
I guess so. And how long ago was that?
That was in 91.
91?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Great.
And then after that, we invited Kristin down to Woodbridge. And all my friends had been searching. We'd been looking at every sort of therapy you could think of. We were looking for something. When I found Reiki, I'd found what I was looking for. So I invited all my friends to this beautiful garden, and the sun shone, and she gave us a talk and a demonstration. And after that, I was her organizer for many, many years. And we used to have first degree courses of about 12 people.
Uh-huh, wonderful.
In Ruth's farmhouse. It was
oh,
a lovely
wow.
setting.
Sounds yeah. beautiful.
Yeah.
Sounds beautiful. And how did you get on with Reiki then? Did you take second degree eventually?
I took my second degree a year later, yeah.
Ah.
And yes, I've never had a practice. I'm not a Reiki practitioner. I'm one of these, what do you call it, folk healers.
Folk healers, what is that for you?
So it's friends and family. But on the other hand, I suppose over the last 19 years, I've done about one or two Reiki treatments every week.
Right, and we're sitting in your Reiki room, which is really lovely. Opens out to a wonderful garden. wonderful garden. And then you had considered becoming a master at one point.
Oh, yes. Yes. I was at Buckland's, and I think it was a real emotional reaction that I decided this is what I wanted to do. And I was 80 at the time, and it seemed a sort of crisis point, you know. But when I really thought about it, it wasn't the right thing for me.
No?
No.
How did you come to this?
I think it was... it was a period when Kristin couldn't come regularly over here, and we were missing her. And I think I was trying to fill the gap, and that wasn't the right reason for doing it.
Yes.
And also, I think I've got a lot of responsibility with a 90-year-old husband, so I'm a bit limited in how I can move around. And then when I thought about it, and I know it was the right decision not to, because the sense of relief when I said no was enormous. I do a runner sharing group, and we organise our own Reiki events around here, and I'm quite the sort of the hub of a wheel, and I think that is what I'm meant to be doing, so that's what I shall stick to doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wrote to Kristin with the news that I wasn't really going to carry on with this, I said I thought I'd better stick to what I knew I was good at.
Great. Well, you're very good at organizing the locals. And community has been really the focus of your Reiki practice.
Yes, it really. We've got a wonderful group around here, and we extend into Norfolk at the north and Essex. Don't have many people from Cambridgeshire. And we started off by running the East Anglian Reiki weekend at a lovely place called Leiston Abbey, and we did that 3 years, which was great fun. And we used to have up to 100 people.
Really?
Which was great.
That's wonderful.
But then Leiston Abbey was taken over and started being a money-making concern instead of what it used to be. And so we stopped that, and then we just started having Reiki days in a local village hall once or twice a year for about 24 people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great.
So what's a Reiki day consist of?
Well, a Reiki day consists of a cup of coffee, Reiki circle, bit of a chat, giving a treatment in the morning, having a lovely shared lunch, giving a treatment in the afternoon, another Reiki circle and talk, and everyone goes home.
Wow, so simple and yet so beautiful.
Very simple, yes.
Wonderful. Mm.
But what we have done once, or is it twice, and we're certainly going to do again, is so that you can have four consecutive treatments, we have what we call a four-in-a-row Reiki weekend, and that starts at lunchtime on Friday. So
uh-huh.
You can have one treatment on Friday, two on Saturday, and one on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And the energy builds up. It's wonderful.
That's great. Yes. So people are local, and then they just come there during the day?
Yes, we don't make it residential, although there are plenty of bed and breakfast places, and, you know, we put friends up. But yes, we've got one regular who comes from Kent,
uh-huh.
several from Essex. We've had people from the Midlands,
uh-huh.
and they do a bed and breakfast and make a bit of a holiday of it.
Yeah. Great.
So we're very lucky we've been able to advertise in Touch occasionally. And
uh-huh. And Touch is the
Reiki Association magazine.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And, well, that just is so wonderful to hear about that. And so you do treatments. And you were working, I understand, for, was it a hospice or some kind of a program?
Oh, that was some time ago. The people with multiple sclerosis formed with a lot of help from a very good neurologist. They started a social group, really, but the social group was held in the hospital, and they always had a physiotherapist in attendance who gave them exercises and things. And we were the neurologist was very interested in alternatives, and
uh-huh.
heard of me and asked if I'd like to give Reiki there.
Uh-huh. So how long into your practice was this? Like maybe
I'm just trying to think. I finished when I was... I finished about 5 years ago, and I did it for about 4 years. So, yes, it was sort of middling.
And middling.
I used to go and give half-hour treatments, which were very... It was very interesting because a lot of them really, really relaxed and found it very helpful. But one or two who suffered from muscle spasm, it made them worse, and so we stopped treating them, which was interesting. The energy seemed to cause the spasms.
Well, you know, in my experience, it would have been interesting if they had been willing to kind of be a Reiki experiment, because it would have been interesting to have done them over a long period of time, but like every day, to see if it would have gotten worse and then somehow reached some kind of a turning point and then become better. But it's it's hard to do in those circumstances.
Well, this was just once a week, it would have been interesting. And I think if any of them had lived nearby, I would have probably offered to treat them, but they were scattered around from...
So you went from house to house? Or
No, this was at the hospital.
This was at the hospital.
And they used to have transport that brought them into the hospital from all over Suffolk, really.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So how many people did you treat every day when you went?
It's a couple of hours. I would probably manage to get four in if they were, you know, fairly prompt. I give them half an hour each.
And what did you find just overall in these half-hour treatments?
I used to find that, for one thing, they really enjoyed the hands-on, the feeling of the individual experience, I think. Mm-hmm. And most of them found it extremely relaxing. Very few of them could turn over, so it was just a question of them lying on their backs. And I used to find the usual thing. I mean, I'd find hot spots, and I just enjoyed giving it. It wasn't always easy because one was on a hospital bed, was just the wrong height, and you couldn't always get a chair, but which is probably why I gave up in the end, because my back gave out.
Well, that's too bad that they didn't. You couldn't have had better circumstances of treatment, because it sounds like a really wonderful service.
But the group is still going on, I know. But
so there are other people who are giving Reiki.
I don't think they're having Reiki. They're having reflexology and they're having massage. At the moment, I don't think they're having Reiki. I have sort of mentioned it to various friends, but no one's taken it up yet. It's an awkward time. They meet about 6:30 in the evening till 8:30.
Right.
And it's not comfortable for people who've got families to deal with.
Yeah, that's true.
John was very long-standing.
Well, good for John. Well, we're going to take a little station break right now, and I'll be back with more of Chips in just a moment. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolite massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Over there, Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm back with Chip Sporton, and we're having a wonderful time. You know, one of the very special things about Chip's is that she's very into her community and has created Reiki community, which I have found really inspiring. And some of her ways of gathering people together is really wonderful. But now, I have just asked her if she happens to have a couple of Reiki stories that she could tell us about her life with Reiki. So, Chips, take it away.
Well, this was very soon after I did my first degree.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know whether it's just me, but I just have to keep practicing on other people to convince myself that it worked.
Right.
So I tell all my friends about it, and I say, I do this wonderful thing called Reiki, and it's very relaxing, and if you know anyone who'd like to try it. So I was met by a friend who said, I just know someone who's diabetic, and as a result of that has had a leg amputated, but she's got the pain, the false leg syndrome, you know, the pain where the leg was.
Right.
And do you think Reiki could help? And I said, I have no idea, but I'm perfectly willing to try. So I went to this very nice house in a lovely village near here, and to find that because of her disability, she had a double bed downstairs in the sunroom.
Mm-hmm.
And because she was afraid of falling, she insisted on lying right in the middle of this double bed.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine how difficult it was to get your hands on. So I had to sort of sit on the bed beside her and through various angles managed to give her a pretty good treatment, huh? Pretty good treatment, yes.
It took
about an hour about it. And she went into such deep relaxation and said, oh, Chips, that was wonderful. Tell me, do you go into a trance? And as I'd been almost standing on my head to get to various parts, I thought that was lovely. Anyway, I continued treating her for about a month, I think. And yes, the pain went.
It went?
It went. She stopped having this problem and she was able to use her false leg and it did work, yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So,
Phantom pain.
Oh, no, it'd be more than that. I must have been about 3 months. Yes, it was some time. But anyway.
That's great. So, did you get perfected in your technique of having to treat her in this double bed?
I got more comfortable as time went on. And also, as time went on, she allowed me to take her on the edge of the bed.
Ah.
It was that very first one when she didn't know what was happening.
Right.
And was a bit tense.
Right.
And so she had to be. And it wasn't just a normal double bed, it was king size.
Oh, my
really
goodness.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
That's great.
But, that was that was one of I shall always remember her saying, do you go into a trance, when I'd been trying to stand on my head practically to get I don't know if I've got any other.
But do you feel like when you do give Reiki, besides in times when you're not trying to stand on your head to give Reiki, what would you call the space that you get into when you treat with Reiki? It's a kind of a trance, would you say?
It's almost like meditation, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
I do find that I get a stillness. It's lovely. I mean, I love giving Reiki because I always get so much from it myself. And I'm a very busy person, and I know everyone says I dash around all over the place, but when I give Reiki, I'm still. And it's a stillness I love.
But it's a different stillness than enforced stillness.
Oh yes.
Huh?
It's an inner stillness. It's more like a meditation. I used to meditate regularly, I'm afraid I don't now, but I do know what that inner stillness is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing like a trance, I don't know what a trance is, I've never been in one, but I imagine you're not really conscious of what's going on.
Right.
But I'm always aware of the birds singing and of what's going on.
And when you say that you receive a lot when you give treatments, is there something else besides or included in the stillness, or is the stillness the gift that you receive? Would you describe other gifts?
I think I get energized. I certainly never. I mean, sometimes as I get older, my back aches or something. But I think when I'm giving Reiki, I'm aware that the energy is coming through me, and I get energized. I never find it tiring.
Uh huh. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
So yes, I do. I would say people say, you know, does it take it out of you? And I say, no, it puts it into me.
That's great. So just to clarify, Chips, because also for people, I mean, I just turned 60, so I went through my little age crisis this year. So I just would love for you to share how old you are. And when you say, well, you're getting, you know, when you get over up in age, and I'm going, well, I guess you have a long way to go. You sure seem like it.
I'm 83 this June. So, yes, I'm quite long in the tooth. But I'm blessed, really, with, you know, good health. And I'm sure Reiki's had a... Because I was a very neurotic young lady at one time.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that mean, neurotic? Like, kind of little aches and pains?
Oh, used to anticipate problems all the time.
Oh.
Oh, yes. But now I've learned to live much more in the present, meditation and Reiki are the two things that have brought me to this sort of very pleasant old age, really. I don't mind being 80 at all, except I've got rickety knees, but apart from that, I'm okay.
Wow. Well, it's amazing, and she does buzz around a lot. I've seen it myself, and sometimes I really admire that, and other times it just makes me tired.
Oh dear.
But I have the same, people have the same reaction with me too, so that's interesting.
Oh, I can't think how you manage to go around the world, because I get jet lag very badly, and I don't know how you cope with it.
Oh well, I now have to really go to places a few days early, not just a day early, but you know, like 3 or 4 days early, and really really give myself time, because I used to force myself through it, and I can't do that anymore. It's just not possible with my energy.
It's a dreadful feeling, isn't it?
It is. And now that I've actually I think come to a place of rest, excuse me, more inside myself these days, I'm loath to push through that place and then go to this other place of exhaustion, which is what I used to do in the past.
I'm glad you've learned.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit, I think, of the consciousness of people who are like 40 and 50 who still have this 30-year-old mentality, but a 40 and 50-year-old body mechanism. And it's there's a breaking point somewhere in that. don't you think?
Oh, I do. Yes, I do. I think you've got to slow down a bit. But slowing down...
Well, you can't slow down too much either.
No, that's right. Yeah. No, I do less than I used to.
Uh-huh.
But we have a lot of fun here. We really do. And we have a sharing group every month.
Uh-huh. So what's your motivation to have a sharing group? Because a lot of people have sharing groups, and then they wonder, should they answer questions that people come with? Should they have meals, or should they have tea, or should they have a master's? A lot of people feel like they need a master to be in the sharing group. So I'm just wondering, because you've had sharing group for years and years, huh?
Yes, we have, almost since the beginning. And to begin with, we used to have to hire a village hall because there were so many of us.
Wow, that's wonderful.
But after that, now we get... Sometimes, I think our most is 12, but so we have two Reiki tables in here and one in the room that Kristen was sleeping in, and the ideal is 9 so that we can work in threes. And no, we usually say to come at 7 o'clock for 7:30, and we so people come as and when they can, but we just share Reiki. We don't really do anything else. And afterwards, we'll have a cup of tea or whatever if there's time. But sometimes it goes on so late that they just want to go home.
Uh-huh. So when you do Reiki, you just treat people as they wish and what they need. So, for instance, if somebody comes and they've had a really bad day or...
Oh, yes, if they want anything extra, that's fine. And if they've had a really bad day, we put them on the table first.
Uh-huh.
And if we work in threes, we work to got a Buddhist bell, you know, the brass sound.
Our chime.
I've got it on tape. So we put that on, and every 5 minutes it goes ding, and then we change over. So it's all done in silence. And whoever's on the head goes on the bed next, so there's no need to talk about that.
Oh, I see. So you have your own ritual about.
So it's a very peaceful evening. Yes.
Wonderful.
And then we do our talking afterwards.
Great. Beautiful.
So we sit in the dining room there and, and have a cup of coffee.
So are the people that have come, the community that you've created through Kristen's classes and so on, or
they nearly all have been Kristen's students, but not all, and we're open to anyone. And one or two people come and try with us, and sometimes they stay, and sometimes they think, no, it isn't quite for me, but we're open to anyone.
That's wonderful. And have you ever had a situation in your sharing group where that has been uncomfortable for you?
No, I don't think so.
That's fabulous.
No. The worst that's happened really was when we had to put up an emergency table. We had to have 4 tables and 1 in the dining room because we were so many of us. But we coped.
Well, I think that's a worst case scenario that a lot of sharing groups would love to have. Yeah, I just wonder because, you know, in this day and age, a lot of people are very protective of their sharing groups because of all the different other forms of Reiki. And so if people come, they are like strangers, and there's some attitude about strangers.
Well, we are quite... we're quite protective of the method we use, which is your method. And so if we have new people here, we do demonstrate. Say, this is how we do it. You're very welcome. And this is what we do.
Uh-huh.
Because we have had people who put their hands above and don't touch.
Right, for instance.
Yes, for instance.
Yeah.
We're fairly careful about that. And
well, I just wondered, because...
Yes, because yes, there are some strangers. There are some, we are very clear about that.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And well, we do demonstrate before. But that's why we say 7 o'clock for 7:30, and we've got time to have whatever height table they want. So we put all the short people at one table, tall people at because
that's very good.
It's uncomfortable if you're very tall. My daughter's very tall, so we always make sure we have. And Christine is too.
Yes.
So we sort them out, and also if there's anyone we don't know. One of Christine usually will demonstrate the hand positions.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. But great. Okay, well, we're going to come back to more of Chips in just a few moments. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere, on the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! Alright then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here today with Chips Morton, who has a great story, by the way, of how she got her name. So maybe we'll cover that later. But right now, we're back to Chips and some stories. And I, Chips, I just want to know if you have any stories about yourself. We'll come back around to you, yourself and Reiki.
Well, I had a hysterectomy. Several years ago now, 7 years ago, I think. And I went on the Reiki helpline. You know, I was nervous as you are before an operation.
Oh, yes.
And I have never felt so held. It was the most wonderful experience being surrounded by Reiki for that.
Uh-huh. And could you feel it?
Oh, yes. I didn't have I had a spinal. I didn't have a... they asked me whether I wanted a full anaesthetic or a spinal, and I said I'd rather be conscious. So I was conscious all the way through, and I was so calm.
That is amazing. That's very courageous.
And the doctor was amazed. I was out after 2 days, and the healing was incredible. It just was a wonderful experience. And my other personal experience was just two or three years ago, the car before this one, actually. I went to see a very great friend of mine down in Cornwall. And I left the car, so I was driving back from Exeter, and I'd got as far as the Essex border coming back. I was coming across country, because I always like to get off the motorways when I can and just potter for a little way. And I was just going along this country road when a blue van came round a corner, straight across the road, and knocked me into a ditch.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought the car was going to turn over, but it didn't. But to go back a bit, knowing I was going to do this very long journey, and I was just 80, I said to Christine, right, do you think you could send me some Reiki for the journey, please? So she said, well, I'll put you in a bubble. And I said, put you in a Reiki bubble, she said. And I did the whole of this thing in the car. Without any fear, I was totally calm. The airbag exploded, so there was sort of, I thought it was smoke, but it wasn't, it was dust. So I couldn't open that door, so I got out of the other door thinking that there was going to be a fire, but I was calm. Well, I can't understand, I was totally calm. And I got out, and after that, I mean, the ambulance came along, they insisted on taking me to hospital. I was perfectly okay, and I've had no after effects.
Wow.
So when I came back and told Christine, she said, I'm sorry, next time I'll put the car in a bubble as well. Because the car was a write-off.
Oh, wow.
So that...
That's
my Reiki experience, yes. But both times it's this feeling of being completely calm and peaceful and surrounded with love.
Wow.
On both occasions, yeah.
So do you relate this feeling, like I don't know anything about your religious affiliations, but do you relate this to a feeling of being held by God, or would you say that this is another energy?
I always say I believe in God, but not in religion.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a churchgoer, and I can't cope with all the stuff.
Right.
But to me, I'm quite happy to call it God energy. That feels okay for me. But I've, for some people, I would call it universal energy, because I wouldn't want to encroach on any of their sensibilities, as it were. I mean,
right.
Some people find it difficult. But yes, I'm happy to call it God energy.
Yeah, because, you know, it just... It's very interesting, the way that people have approached Reiki, because some people approach Reiki and they come into their spirituality, and then actually it enhances their religious practice or their kind of relationship with an entity they might call God. So they go through like a healing process. And on the other hand, there are other people who come from the religious side who don't see it as the same thing, and then sometimes become very distressed by the comparison of Reiki with God. So it's an interesting process for me, sometimes very confusing.
Yes. I mean, I suppose I was brought up the Church of England, and gradually through my life I have come to believe in God, not in religion. I do feel I'm a spiritual person, and Reiki is a spiritual practice, definitely, and that's one thing that I think drew me to it.
Yes.
And I think for people who have no religion at all, they do come to accept the spiritual side of it. I've seen that happen to people over the years. You can't help it, can you? Because it's just comes in and shows you itself.
So there's this expression that I use a lot. I know that I didn't coin it, but I got it from somewhere. That one of the things that Reiki gave me was an introduction to the existence of mystery. And rather than having mystery be a frightening, scary thing, mystery has become actually a part of the foundation of the richness of life.
Yes.
Rather than the ogre of life, so to speak.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Your face is lighting up, so...
Yes, that's right.
Does
yes,
that that's connect a, with you
that's
at all?
That's a lovely way of putting it. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes. And, yes, and there is a mystery of... I mean, people say, you know, what is Reiki? And I say, I can't possibly tell you. Come and try it.
Right.
Because it is a mystery. I have no idea how it works.
And it is truly beyond words.
It is, yes. So I always say, come and try it.
Yes. It's a good line, I think, that is used by everyone who has Reiki. Certainly is by me. Even in all the words that I have come to in the last 30 years of teaching and helping people describe Reiki for themselves, there's always been this, the end of the words and the beginning of no words.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
It's interesting. So I was hoping that maybe I'm on a little bit of a search myself, and it isn't about proving this, but it's about pushing the boundary a little bit. I think that's part of my personality, is kind of... And so I'm always, when I'm interviewing people, I'm always wondering, well, you know, can I push the envelope a little bit and see if I can get another word or two? So, yeah. So when you say that, well, just experience it, then it's interesting for me, the purpose of our human existence, for me, feels like coming into a relationship with all that is through our human experience. And it's our own human experience. It's really a drag. We can't learn from somebody else's, but we don't seem to. Is that true for you?
I think so, yes. You have to learn for yourself and by experiencing things.
Right.
Yes. But they say it's a wise person who learns from other people.
Well, Krishnamurti always said that that was a great fault of mankind. Not, he didn't really use the word fault, but he said that it was too bad that mankind can't learn from its own mistakes as a collective, and man, as a singular, can't learn from somebody else's mistakes. We always have to do the...
That's true, yes.
Yeah, we always have to do the thing ourselves.
If you look back into history, we make the same mistake time and time again, don't we?
Yeah, fascinating. Yeah. So it's not about accumulating wisdom. It's somehow about accumulating experience.
Yes. I think of life as a schoolroom, you know, that it's here, isn't it, for us to learn from.
And yes.
If you don't learn the lesson, it comes up and hits you again.
Uh-huh.
So you might just as well learn it this time, and then then another one comes up.
Yes. Well, then, can you see if there is like a goal for Reiki, like in some, like for religion, you know, the goal is maybe to be good so you can go to heaven, which I mean is a very simplistic, linear piece of thinking for me. But there's another part for me where, you know, in a lot of meditative practices from India, for instance, the goal seems to be enlightenment, whatever that means. So a lot of people say, well, is there a goal in Reiki? And I say, well, it's a healing practice. So what does healing mean? And are we ever healed?
Well, perhaps not in this lifetime.
Perhaps, yes, I agree. Well, we're going to take a station break right now. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
With Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Again, we're here in the UK, in Suffolk, England, with Chips Morton. And Chips was in our break. We were just, I just asked her how she was doing, and she said, well, you know, maybe one of my problems is I believe in reincarnation. So that was really a hook for me. So what do you mean by that?
Well, when you talk about a goal, you see,
I see
my soul as having matured over various lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I've got a few more to go.
Mm-hmm. So when I want to tie this back in then, with this place of search inside yourself and in the group of women that you were, you kind of collected in your own life, and I feel like that feeling of search is very common in people today, or it seems like it is, and certainly is very familiar thread in the stories of Reiki people who have come to Reiki because they feel like, well, Paul Mitchell has a classic one. He always says, well, I was driving home and realized I had found the answer to my search, which I didn't even know I had.
It certainly was the answer to my search,
yes.
For the moment, yes.
Yes. But do you think that that comes from this place of your soul needing your next step? Or?
Yes, I think it came into, you know, I came into this world with this, some sort of experience and with this feeling that there was something I had to find.
Uh-huh.
And for the moment anyway, that Reiki, I stopped looking then. I really didn't need to look anymore.
Right. That's beautiful.
Which is interesting.
Yeah,
yes.
Very.
Yes.
And some people say that they would have liked to have had Reiki before. Like, well, it's too bad that there weren't more Reiki masters earlier and all that. But, you know, I always think that our whole life, up until the time whenever we met Reiki, is our preparation for it. Would you say that's true for
yeah,
you?
I've often said I would love to have had Reiki when my children were babies.
Yes.
But I wasn't ready for it then.
So if you had met Reiki, it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
I don't think I'd have... I don't think it would have done. I think, yes, life is a journey. And when I was in my... I think it was sort of 40s and 50s, I began this search.
Uh-huh.
And didn't find Reiki until I was 60, did I?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, because I'm 19 years, I was just 60.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, it's been very interesting because the interviews before this block of interviews that I've done have been with people who are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s who have had Reiki most of their life, if not all of their life, because they were born into a family where the mother and father had Reiki, and so they were, the mother Reiki'd the fetus in utero and so on. So there's always been this energy in their lives. And one of the very interesting problems, actually, for me as the interviewer, was that because I hadn't had that experience, I don't feel like I asked them, I couldn't find the questions to ask them, because I'm always asking about something relative. But you have to ask, relative to what?
Yes. Yes.
And when there's no relativity, then you're kind of scratching your head going, well, this is very interesting. So Reiki becomes this kind of everyday, it's in everyday existence, and there's no place to start back from except for maybe a past life.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
Huh?
That makes sense to me, yes.
Yeah, so yes. It's interesting. Yeah. So when you think about this, your soul's journey, do you feel like there is an end then to that journey? Or...
Well, I think that enlightenment, the word you used, that the, you know, I think that's probably the oneness with the universe, which is what enlightenment... I've only once had... what's that called, the peak experience? I have had one peak experience where one feels at one with the universe just for a few seconds.
Uh-huh.
And I would imagine that that, I think, is the ultimate.
Uh-huh. Is it possible for you to share that? Just how that happened for you? Or is it too personal?
No, it's not too personal. I just find it very difficult to explain. I was a child, and I was a pretty miserable sort of child, really. And then I grew into a very neurotic teenager. But at one time, when I was I don't know how old, I think quite young, so 7 or 8, and I just had this total feeling of complete happiness and feeling of at one with everything. When I say I haven't had it since, I have had it during meditation briefly.
Uh-huh.
And it is I can only explain it as being sort of part of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Like one with the universe, rather than being a nice feeling.
Sounds
and to
like
me,
it.
That was probably what, when my soul is eventually mature, and that would be the ultimate, to have this feeling of being one with everything.
Ooh, beautiful. And I have thought for myself that I have had glimpses of this kind of experience during Reiki treatments or receiving Reiki, and I'm wondering if that's at all true for you, or maybe it doesn't have the same quality as the experience that you had when you were a girl.
Pretty close, I think, at times, yes.
Uh-huh.
Pretty close, yes. Especially receiving.
Oh, yes. That's interesting.
Yes.
It's interesting because, you know, in our society, we always think that giving is the thing to do.
Yes, I do. And it takes a long time to be able to really receive, doesn't it? I mean, I think we're much better at giving than receiving, most of us.
Yeah, but
you know, I'm getting better at receiving.
That's good. Because just in this moment, I think, well, in that moment of what we might call enlightenment, is it a crossover of being able to give as much as we receive, or is it receiving more than we are attached to giving, or do we give up the giving and just be in receiving mode?
It seems to be very much to be in the receiving mode. It seems a gift.
Uh-huh. And that,
yes.
And that our attachments are connected to giving rather than receiving.
Yes, I suppose they are.
Yes. That's interesting.
Yes,
I'm going to have to think about this.
Yes, I hadn't thought of it that way before, but I think that our attachments are very much giving and, yes.
Being rewarded for giving and so on and so on.
And when you stop all that,
uh-huh,
and just be, yeah, it's interesting. Uh-huh. I should think about that one.
Okay, me too. Great. Well, this is a wonderful place to end our interview today, Chips, and it's also the end of our time. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful. And, of course, you did have something to say, and I really appreciate you sharing your life with us. Thank you for listening. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.